Welcome back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts, Steven
and Kyle.
Thank you so much for taking the time to tune back in with us today, and thank you even more for telling all your weird friends about us and help spreading the Hollow Sky virus.
Hell yes.
Hell yeah, brother.
Masks are not fucking needed.
No, we do appreciate you guys sharing the word and tuning in and just coming to hang out with us every single fucking Monday. It's great. It's a great little community we're building here.
The only mask that we would encourage to wear would be like the bong gas masks.
Slipknot masks.
Yeah, and it just takes the Hollow Sky virus and you just inhale it and just become consumed.
And then you turn into a member of Slipknot.
Well, I mean, they're always...
Shout out to Slipknot if any of them guys want to be on the podcast.
Hell yeah, that'd be sweet.
Today, I put together a few abduction stories, I guess.
Great. Which, fucking great.
They're weird ones. They're ones where the people pretty much wanted to be abducted.
That's stupid.
I guess, kind of. I don't know. You guys are just going to have to hang out and check it out. Before we get into that, we have to go through all the business, and you know how that goes. So,
fucking shitty.
Check us out at all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. If you're on the Facebook, hop on over to the pages, just search us up on Hollow Sky, and come over and hang out. The fan page, the regular page, post memes, post weird articles you find, cryptid shit, fucking anything you want to do, just come over and be weird. It's a good little place where everybody can just fucking be weird as hell.
Yeah, it's I'm getting a little bit more active on Instagram, as I'm sure all you fucking people have been noticing. Stepping up my Insta game.
It's coming out of his shell.
So, you know, Social butterfly. Steve can attest to it. I'm a not fucking talkative person until the ice is broken. Then I'll
He's drunk.
Then I'll talk. Well, that too. I'll be very fucking chatty. You get me drunk. But like when we was at the Crypticon, we sat there and debated like little girls about talking to the Jamie Schnell artist. And then I just finally said, fuck it, and started talking to him. And Steve's like, look at you. You're talking to him like you're his best fucking friend. Like you've known him forever.
Kyle stood there for like 40 minutes. I'm like, this went way longer than I anticipated.
So I'm a shy guy. I'm shy.
So yeah, check us out on all that cool stuff. We try to respond to you guys as much as we can, especially through messages and comments and shit. So just bear with us. If you check us out on YouTube, make sure you subscribe and what the fuck is that? The little bell notification. Get notifications for whenever we drop new episodes. Eventually, we're going to start posting actual live videos someday. Maybe we will. Maybe we won't.
Yeah,
hopefully, switch
us
up the YouTube content a little bit. If you have a weird encounter, Kyle's going to tell you how to get it to us. Speaking of which, before we get into that, I'm thinking about shutting down the phone line, the 1-800 number. Nobody ever uses it, and it's easier just to record your shit on your voice memo on your iPhone and send it over, smartphone, and send it over. So that might be going away.
Yeah, we agree. It's just pointless at this time.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's just a little money hole.
Yeah, nobody uses it. We're wasting money on it. And it's just a lot more convenient to use the voice memo app on your smartphone.
Or email us.
Whatever. Fucking record yourself as a video on your phone and send the video to us.
We don't give
a shit. I mean, literally any way that you can get us your story, we'll take it. You want to fucking fax it to us, We'll call
my pager.
Yeah, Steve does have a pager.
That's true. Speaking of which, we do need some more encounters. So all you fucking weirdos out here has got some weird shit to tell us.
Let's go.
Get on it.
Let's go.
So Kyle, how are they going to get on it?
I already fucking told you.
Oh, that's true.
And then on top of that, there's the email. HollowSkyPodcast@gmail.com email.com
Emos. I wish I fucking had Emos Hot Wings
right
now.
We're just
shout
talking
out
about
to Emos Pizza. If you guys want to sponsor us and give us some wings, we will shout you guys out every single
Yeah, so basically the way it works is me and Steve get together every other weekend to record as many episodes as we can. So with that being said,
if you guys would like to give us 50 Hot Wings every other weekend, we will shout you out.
I mean, I will sacrifice your part of the deal. I will come to Emo's to pick the wings up on my way to Steve's. I know it's not preferable in a sponsorship situation. They should actually be delivered to us.
We could make it work.
We can make it
work.
We're
flexible.
We are.
I know some people that listen locally know people that probably work at Emo's, so let's
hit us up.
Make a deal.
You know, and we're still like right now drinking on a Monster. Still waiting on the Monster sponsorship.
Yeah, if anybody knows whoever the Monster guy is, Joe Monster, someone send him an email and tell him to get us free Monsters.
Yeah, and to sponsor us. You don't really have to give us anything but an occasional Monster and maybe some cool stickers.
And Kyle will get a Monster tattoo on his back.
I mean, I probably would. I'm really not too picky about it, so it's whatever.
Hell yeah.
You know, it's whatever.
Damn, we derailed there. All right, no, back fine. To it. Speaking of podcasts.
Living the good life.
If you listen to us on Apple iTunes podcast, hop on over there. Actually, you know what? Fuck it.
Go over there and talk some
whatever,
shit.
Whatever podcast app you listen to us on, hop on over there and leave us a rating and review. The only one I can actually access very good because I don't computer good is Apple and iTunes. And if you leave us a 5-star rating and review there,
yeah,
we're going to shout you the fuck out.
Before Steve gets into it. So basically what he's saying, if you're going to talk shit, go to the other ones and talk shit.
The iTunes ones we can't see.
Yeah, just give us the good reviews on the ones we can see.
I don't even actually know how many platforms we're on.
Probably like 56.
Yeah, probably 3.
Or
but
that.
Anyway, today's 5-star rating and review comes to us from, this might be my favorite fucking name that we've had a review from. It's Crunchy Ham. Crunchy Ham. It's really spelled C-R-O-N-C-H-Y, Crunchy Ham, H-A-M-B.
What the fuck?
It's so great. Okay.
And the way you fucking...
I have to enunciate it.
Enunciate it like
Crunchy
you're from Britain.
Ham.
So I'm assuming that whoever this is...
No, it's
is,
from the United States.
No, it's apparently from...
It's from Britain.
Europe or Britain, wherever the fuck you want to talk.
Okay. 5 stars says it's just right. I love this podcast. I can't get into most paranormal podcasts, but this one feels perfectly balanced. It's right up my street. Keep up the good work, guys. Well, Crunchy Ham, you're right up our street.
Word.
So we
I'm
appreciate
glad that
you
we live on the same street.
Hanging out with us and speaking all the good words, passing on the good words,
yeah.
Doing the Hollow Skies
preach.
Work.
Preach.
We definitely do appreciate you guys that take the time to go over there and leave us some nice shit because it helps us kind of push our way through all the muck of podcasts that are out there. And
yeah,
that way when someone searches dope ass paranormal shit, all
we
the sky
instantly
podcasts
pop
up.
Not to mention derailing us even further here.
Dope.
What did you guys think about Steve's recent post? And I know you've seen it by now. But the one with Beyonce and saying that Hollow Skies a cult, should we get that into a shirt or?
People are wanting that as a shirt.
I think we should get it into
I'm
a shirt.
I'm pretty sure.
So Beyonce, hit
Jay-Z
us up.
Jay-Z and Beyonce will probably fight us.
I think they'd fuck with us on this one.
They probably would, dude. Yeah. If Jay-Z wears a Hollow Skies shirt, I will.
I'll fucking quit podcasting.
I'll shave my head. And if anybody knows me personally. Have you seen this? You see what's growing on top of my head?
Your hair is pretty fucking fantastic
yeah,
right now.
Yeah, it needs its own fucking Facebook page.
If Jay-Z wears our shirt and takes a picture with it, I will
get Jay-Z tattooed on your back?
Yes, I will get Jay-Z
I will
tattooed.
Pay for that.
I maybe not on my back, but
yeah,
somewhere on my body, I would get Jay-Z tattooed.
If at the Grammys... Jay-Z wears a Hollow Skies shirt, you're getting a tattoo on your back.
You didn't specify how big it has to be, so.
It doesn't matter. Jay-Z gets the pick.
I'm not doing a full back piece of Jay-Z.
You're getting in schematics here we don't need to talk about
right
now.
That's what I'm thinking.
Anyway.
But Jay-Z, hit us up.
Yeah.
I mean, I know you fuck with us. It might be low-key fucking with us, but it's there.
Yeah, you don't, but it's cool.
You're about to because we just... Use Beyonce as a shirt. So.
That is true. No copyrights.
No.
Hell no.
We're good.
If you tuned in last week, we had a first part of a listener submission from our friend Olivia. She hit us back with a part 2 of some of the weird shit going on in her life. So we are going to focus on that today before we get into our abduction stories. So, oh yeah, before that, as I had mentioned last episode, we were talking about doing a Patreon. Definitely check into that, see what it's all about. Again, just let us know what kind of little goodies you're interested in. If you're thinking of subscribing to the Patreon, what kind of shit you want, like stickers, magnets, fucking cool little trinkets like that.
Yeah.
So, anywho, back to Olivia's story. Part two. So tune into last week's episode, which
we should get done.
Is the Wendigo episode.
We should look into. I would probably subscribe to us for this, but it just hit me, so it's fucking genius. We should get fucking washable tattoos, Hollow Sky
genius.
Tattoos.
And how fucking genius would that be? On their throats.
That's what I'm saying. I think it was a fucking great idea. So if anybody knows how to make those, hit us up.
Yeah, hell yeah. Anyway, Olivia's story. Tune into last week's episode, the Wendigo episode, to hear the first part, but this is part two. She says, "Hello again. Thank you for emailing me, as I definitely forgot to send my part two. I wanted to preface this email by saying, since my first email, I've done nothing but binge listen to you guys. Waking up and going to work at 5 a.m. has been much easier because of the Hollow Sky podcast. I also wanted to say all of my paranormal events occurred in Kansas City, Missouri." Well, that's kind of local, not too
far. That's not very far.
A couple hours. "I'm 20 years old now and live in Pensacola, Florida. Here's my part
Damn,
two.
She talks like she's fucking 40.
I know.
Like, you sound like you've just...
Smarter than me.
Well, she's smarter than us, but she just... Like, the first email, I just made me feel like she's lived a very long life.
Yeah, she's 20.
I know, it's fucking weird.
Okay, when I was in 7th grade, my family and I moved from Independence to Blue Springs, Missouri. We moved into a house built in the 70s with original orange shag carpet that felt gross to touch and a lack of natural light. When you walked in the front door, you were met by a tiled foyer, a high ceiling, and a chandelier. To the left was a dark, unused dining room. In front of you was the open entrance to the living room. And to the right of you were two small staircases leading upstairs to the bedroom. One evening, I was in my mom's room laying on her bed looking at my phone. All the lights upstairs were off, and the chandelier in the foyer gave me the ability to see the top of the landing. As I was on my phone, I saw out of the corner of my eye what I thought was my brother come up the stairs toward the bathroom, which was out of my sight due to the bedroom wall. I looked up at the landing between the four bedrooms and called out to my mom. I didn't think my brother was home. I heard her walking up the stairs and ask, "Is Bobo home?" She got to the doorway, stopped, and said, "No, but you saw it too?" Turns out at the same time I saw the entity, my mom had seen it out of the corner of her eye as she entered the foyer from the living room upstairs. Weird.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, especially like you got the two.
Yeah, coincides there.
Yeah, cooperating each other.
Nope.
Other things that happened in the house, like my mom hearing a little girl singing, tapping from inside the closet, and my floor slowly creaking toward my bed when I tried to sleep. One night I went outside to kick my soccer ball around in the street and looked back at my empty house. I had as many lights turned on as I could, as I was the only one home. I remember just sitting on the curb looking at how eerie the place looked and not wanting to go back in. A few years after that, I stayed at my best friend's house, often in the months leading up to my moving to Florida. They also lived in Blue Springs and had a similarly built house like my last one. There was a lack of natural light and multiple odd levels of the house. I used to be creeped out a lot until we saged the place. We all saw a dark shadow dart across the den a few times, as well as something peeking out from behind the couch. That's fucking creepy.
Yeah.
It usually felt eerie at night, to me at least. One time my friend came home to her little brother's phone playing music on Pandora. It had been hours since he went to school and had accidentally left his phone in there, and he swore he had exited out of all the apps before leaving it. Like me, they were all super into the paranormal. Despite having those few occurrences, my two best friends, who are sisters, wanted concrete evidence. So one evening after high school soccer game, me and my two sister friends wanted to start off our fun night by going to Target. We found a Stranger Things Ouija board on sale, white candles, and headed back to our room. This never ends good.
Dumb.
Never ends good, Olivia.
That's your bad.
It was about 9:30 when we set up everything under the visitors' bleachers. We envisioned a white light around us for protection and got to work. We each had two fingers on the planchette, and my friend next to me started off with the typical, "We only want to speak to good spirits. Is there anyone here that would like to speak with us?" The planchette was stagnant for a couple minutes while my friend periodically asked for someone to talk with us. Eventually, and ever so slowly, the planchette started to move. Centimeter by centimeter, it started to creep towards yes. Of course, we did the whole, "It isn't any of you guys, right?" Like asking each other questions, but we weren't the type to mess around like that. And halfway to yes, my friend acknowledged its presence. We introduced ourselves and asked for its name. It slowly moved to the letters UD. Confusing name, we agreed, but continued to ask if it was male. It moved towards a no. We then asked what year she was born. We were expecting something like 1952 or 1789, something normal, but we were shocked when the numbers moved to 1356. My other friend said, "Wow, you're old," and we shushed her. No joking around. We then asked where she was born, and the letters DNJLD were spelled out, which confused us. We asked again where it was born, or where she was born, but it didn't move. For a good minute, we sat confused, talking to each other about what it meant. When it started moving again, even quicker, we were excited to elaborate until she spelled out the words, or spelled out the letters R, then U, then N. I looked at my friend next to me, and she immediately said, "Thank you for speaking with us. We would like to say goodbye now." The planchette moved to goodbye, the fastest it had moved the whole time, and we closed out. Fuck that. We blew out the candles, packed up our stuff, and as fast as we could, ran to our car, telling our little brother the story as soon as we got home. Since then, we haven't used the board. It's been residing in my car. I'm glad my very religious aunt didn't go looking in my trunk when she drove my car to Florida for me. I would have gotten a lecture from hell. Thank you guys again for taking the time to read my novel-length emails. I will try to write soon about my one and only compelling UFO sighting. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
Thanks, Olivia, for part two. We haven't got that UFO email yet, but no. I'm going to email you and remind you. But like I said in the last one, it almost seems to just follow your family around. Like, yeah. I know some of this shit took place in your friend's house. Like, it was weird too, but you were also there. So it's almost like shit kind of attaches itself to you.
Right. And like we just, even you, Ouija boards are never a good idea. Ever.
I don't know if I buy into the Ouija boards. You know how I am. Like, I'm know, you skeptic.
Don't, yeah, I know.
Dude, why in the fuck that. Would Mattel or whatever, Parker Brothers or whatever the fuck it is, sell a because gate to a demonic world?
Because they're a satanic cult. Duh.
Well, you win this one.
See? I'm a fucking genius.
Checkmate.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
And then
I just don't buy into it.
Okay, well, we'll get back to that.
If anybody wants to go and do a Ouija board experiment with me, let's roll. I literally live next to a graveyard.
Yeah, he's not lying about that. Like, it's his driveway, then you take about 10 steps and you're in the cemetery.
Yeah, quiet no neighbors. Joke. Love it.
Yeah, but quick question. What the fuck is with women in Target? My wife is a Target freak. If she could always shop at Target, she would. It's the strangest thing.
Like the show Stranger Things?
I guess so, yeah.
I don't know. That's a conspiracy for another time.
I'm telling you, it's fucking crazy. She loves Target.
If any of our lady listeners out there have a reason why you love Target so fucking much, Kyle would love to know.
I would be interested.
Shoot us an
knowing.
Email. Inquiring minds need to know.
It's a fucking enigma I'm trying to figure out here.
I've been in Target. It's kind of dope. They give you popcorn.
It's just like every other fucking store.
Yeah, but with popcorn.
Oh, true. And I didn't think about that. It's got
shout
popcorn.
Shout out to Alton Target.
Yeah.
Word. Back to Olivia's story. Thank you so much again for taking the time to send us. Dude, I don't know. If you think the Ouija board's that fucking weird, get the fuck rid of it.
Yeah. I won't fuck with the Ouija board.
Dude, it's fucking weird that it said run.
That's what I'm saying.
I've messed with some a few times, but nothing really specific ever happened.
Well, and I figure, like, if you want to do a really good experiment with that, you got to do it with somebody you know is not going to fucking
mess with you.
Act like, be funny. And
even then,
I'm just going to fuck with Kyle.
Even then, you'd still question it constantly.
Yeah. I mean, but like, if you and me did it, I would expect that. You know this is a controlled experiment, and you better not fuck with me.
If the planchette started spelling out "you're a douche," you'd know it was me.
Yeah, exactly. I'd be like, "God damn it, I'm done with this."
You like the suspense of building?
Fucking done.
You are. I'm what? I'm what? A douche.
God damn it, Steve.
It wasn't me, Kyle.
Bullshit.
But yes, thank you again, Olivia, for sending us your story. I am curious to know if now that you live in Florida. if weird shit is happening at your Florida residence now. Because if it is, probably. We have confirmed that you are haunted, not your places that you reside. And I apologize for that.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't sound.
And probably don't let your religious aunt listen to our podcast because she'll probably hate it because we say F a lot.
Ah, man. I feel like.
Just recommend it to her. She might dig
it. I feel like people just generally love us.
Yeah. And I am going to respond to this email. So you send us a UFO sighting because UFOs are fucking creepy.
They are very creepy. And fuck, I mean, my wife told me the other day that.
I thought you were going to say she's creepy.
My wife?
Sean's going to beat your ass.
No, she'll fucking stab me. No, she told me the other day that my son's been, the past couple of nights, has asked her if she wants to go to outer space with him.
I'm fuck like, well, that's fucking that. Great. Which is funny, not funny.
Not funny.
Ironic because of what I'm about to bring to the table, dog.
I know. I'm going to buy a fucking rocket launcher.
Well, that escalated quickly.
If anything goes flying over my house, I'm taking it out.
Okay. This is what I've been researching. I've found a couple weird accounts online of alien abductions, maybe, but
that are not so abduction-y.
But the people are wanting, so to speak, to go. I have two accounts here that I'm going to share with you all.
So it's like abduction fetish type shit?
Kind of, maybe not. The first one I have, we're going to get into here. Source, there is a YouTube channel called Beyond Creepy, and he has some excellent, excellent bizarre content.
Oh yeah.
And I go to him for ideas and shit like that. If you guys are into YouTube, go check out his channel. It's Beyond Creepy. It's got some weird fucking shit.
It's fucking
mint. So I'm going to shout him out. Totally. I use a lot. He did a lot of searching and research into this, and I kind of pulled off from where he took off and shared some of the content and such. So shout out to Beyond Creepy for this first encounter. The encounter was put onto paper by a man named Brad Steiger. He is an author of nearly 200 paranormal books. He has been a paranormal researcher for decades, always talking about the unexplained and the paranormal. He is noted to be one of the first authors to research and publish books on missing people in the forest. As some of you know, it's the
good old DP.
Yeah, it's the avenue David Politis is pursuing right now. And Steiger did it 30 years ago before David Politis ever came forward with missing.
I was going to say that the dude's got to be a fucking OG if you're pumping out 200 books. Yeah. I couldn't even write one book.
He also researched and wrote a ton of books on UFOs and alien abductions. There was one case that always stood out to him. He's quoted as saying it's the most incredible case of abduction that he has ever encountered. Steiger states that the report has not, or that this report had been confirmed by a very matter-of-fact physician associated with one of the most prestigious and largest hospitals in the Midwest. Had it not been confirmed by such a person, he would have held back on releasing it to the public because he didn't really want his name drugged through the mud. Right?
Yeah, so it happened somewhere around where we live, too. Cool.
No. No.
Good. Thank Jesus.
No. But the doctor worked there post this encounter.
From Jerseyville?
Yes. No.
Fucking good.
So
that's why, never mind.
So Steiger heard of this story and came into contact with a doctor that he calls William, Dr. William, through a correspondent referred to as Mrs. E. She was taking medical courses with William. One day, as they were sitting in a cafe, he brought up an occurrence that took place in a hospital in Hawaii in 1968. At the time, he was 19 years old and serving in the medical corps, working in the military wing of the hospital. He declined to mention the name of the hospital as he was a quiet, humble man and wanted to continue his medical career. He obviously was worried that any link to such an account would definitely hurt his reputation in the medical field because nobody's going to want a surgeon chopping on him that...
Sounds like a nutcase.
Yeah, believes in UFOs.
Right.
The incident, according to William, happened one night while he was making his medical rounds. He had one patient that was in traction and completely unable to move. The patient had medical pins through each of his tibias and femurs. This patient made a weird statement to Dr. Williams. He said that he would be gone for 1 hour later that evening, visiting his friends on a spaceship. He even invited Dr. William to join them. Weird, right?
It is very weird. So, but it, you know, this far into the story, I would be like,
dude's probably on medication.
Yeah, the dude's on medication. He's tripping out. It's fucking whatever.
Right. And that's what William thought. He wrote the conversation off thinking it was funny. Like, he just thought that the drugs had kicked in and this dude was off. He was going to do some traveling that night, but he wasn't leaving the fucking bed. So he told him he wouldn't be able to join him as he was busy. He's going to be busy making his rounds. Later that night, a bed check, true to his word, the man was gone, leaving only the metal pins and weights left in the bed.
Oh, that's fucked.
Yeah. William notified the military police, and an extensive search of the hospital and surrounding grounds was activated. There was no trace of the medically immobile man. He was completely gone. Dr. William recalled the man was around 60 years old and it was a World War II vet. He was stated to be kind of a hippie, and he had been dropping acid when he stepped out onto a highway in front of a semi-truck, which struck him and broke both of his legs in several places. William noted that the man had a Spanish-sounding name, like Espina, and he had bushy eyebrows, large eyes, a shoulder-length blonde hair, a round face, and a flat nose. He stood about 5'6 and was a little chubby. William said the man spoke with an odd accent that he couldn't place. He also noted that Espina always had marijuana or was always high, which baffled the hospital staff, as Espina was obviously bedridden, could not leave his bed because he had two broken-ass legs pinned to the fucking traction device, and any visitors that showed up were always searched prior to visiting.
So basically, the aliens are fucking drug dealers in this story. Dude,
they're just helping. They're like, bro, out.
Dude, you need some weed? We got you. You need to drop some acid? Be careful with this shit, because you might walk out in the middle of the street and get hit by a fucking bus.
Could you imagine being that doctor? You're doing your rounds and shit. Old boy's like, yo, I'm taking a trip later. You can come with me if you want. Being a doctor, you're like, dog, you're pinned to the fucking bed. You're not going anywhere.
Right.
He's like, fuck too.
Watch this. How lucky is that doctor that he didn't take it as so much of a joke where he was like,
take me, dog.
All right. Yeah. Yeah. You know, sure. Yeah. I'll go on a little trip with you.
So as it continues, Williams is quoted as saying, the night that he disappeared, I was working the 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. shift. When I made a bed check, Espina told me he was going to be gone for about an hour, and he reminded me that I could come along if I wanted to. I chuckled and walked on to see about the rest of my patients. Espina was in a 6-man room, but that night he was alone. My post was almost right across from his room. When I sat at my desk, I could survey the entire corridor. No one could get on or off the floor without me seeing them. And of course, there were nurses, doctors, interns, and MPs walking around. When I checked Espina's room a bit later, maybe out of curiosity from what he said earlier, he was gone. The traction weights were hanging there, and the pins were laid on the bed, but he was gone. I put out an alarm, and MPs and other hospital personnel searched the place thoroughly. Espina was gone, and no one had seen him leave. No one had seen anything. Kind of true, but not totally true. Some patients see something. William had spoke to some patients later on, and they said while they didn't see Espina leave, they had seen a very bright light on the side of the building that would have been right before Espina's disappearance.
Awesome.
Fuck that.
So, dude, definitely got abducted.
Steger asked if Espina could have possibly removed the pins himself, and Williams replied, quote, a man would faint from the pain if he tried to pull those pins out. I mean, this guy was laying in a bed, both legs up, his femurs broken. Imagine the terrible pain of trying to crawl under such conditions. It would be impossible for him to have left the room. Then it gets weirder.
But the aliens have been delivering medical weed.
Yeah, which unbreaks your legs, apparently.
Well, I mean, it pulls pins out, too.
Gets even weirder.
Okay.
Quote, after searching the hospital and even the grounds for an hour, somebody decided to check Espina's room again. And there he was. Back in traction, pins back in place.
Well, that's fucked.
The patient had been gone for 1 hour. He told his interrogators that he had been with his, quote, friends. Every pin was in its place. A doctor on the floor said that while it might be possible for a man to pull the pins out, it would be absolutely impossible for anyone to shove them back in again by himself. According to Dr. William, Espina was questioned by 4 military MPs for 4 hours, but he failed to give any information beyond that he was just out with his friends. Frustrated, the MPs gave up. When they finally left him, he looked at me and told me that I could have come along. Oh, this is quote. When they finally left him, he looked at me and told me that I could have come along with him, but his UFO friends knew that I didn't really believe in them. He said that he and his friends had spent a delightful hour flying over the Hawaiian Islands and chatting about metaphysics. When I chastised him for causing such a disturbance at the hospital, Espina became a bit sheepish and said that the next time he went flying with his friends, he would leave his body there and just go in his mind. End quote. Steger recalled that the doctor swore up and down that the occurrence did actually happen. That's my first little tidbit encounter here.
It's really fucked up.
It's fucking weird, right?
It's super weird.
And I hate that there's not more information, like, for me to dig in and try to, like, prove that these people existed.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, the fact that the pins were out and then replaced it, which is just mind-boggling in itself. Like, why do you need to replace pull the pins and then replace them? That doesn't make any sense at all. Unless the craft that you're on, somehow that interferes with it.
Could be. Or maybe, I don't know. I don't.
Because it doesn't make sense.
I imagine, like, even the pain of pulling the pins out, the dude still has two ran-over-ass legs.
Yeah.
He's not going to get up and walk the fuck out of there.
His legs
are fucking broken.
Right.
And the fact that he's put back in there, everything back in its place, he's all like, willy-nilly, just perfect. Oh, dude. And now that you said, what if the doctor said, hell yeah, I'll go.
Yeah.
That'd been a fucking clusterfuck.
I could have seen me doing it just out of joke and been like, okay, yeah, I'll go on a trip with you later, buddy.
Sign me up, dog.
And the next thing you know, you're flying over fucking Hawaii with a bunch of little gray people, and you're like, what in the fuck? They're like, what? You said you wanted to come.
And it's so bizarre that they searched the entire hospital. It's not like he could have hid, which is the most asinine shit I've ever
heard. Did it give context as to, and I may just not have been listening.
Dope. Neither is anybody else.
Did they give context as to why there was MPs there?
Because it's a military. He was working in the military wing, and he was a World War II vet.
Hey, Holocult. The weather's getting nice, and you know what that means. It's cryptid hunting season. And the first rule to cryptid hunting is good footwear. That's why we're excited to announce our partnership with Tecovas Boots. When you're out hunting the Dogman or stalking Chupacabra, you don't have time to break in boots. That's why Tecovas is so nice. They have first wear comfort. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with their styles when you're out hunting cryptids.
And let me tell you, their styles are on point. I've always considered getting me a pair of snakeskin boots, and their pair is mint. They also have crocodile boots, caiman boots, ostrich boots, regular leather boots. They have it all, and it's ridiculously awesome. You can even stop by the local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. So just imagine yourself getting a pair of legitimate snakeskin Hollow Sky branded boots. How awesome would that be?
Nothing is going to intimidate a dog man like a nice pair of gator skin boots. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
So was this, I heard the World War II part, it registered, but was this during the time frame of World War II?
It was after World War II, before, like, kind of during, before Vietnam was
over.
Okay,
gotcha.
Because they said he was all about peace and wanting world peace and all this,
right?
All this stuff as it vetted toward the Vietnam War. So,
interesting.
Which is kind of why he noted that he was a hippie.
Right, yeah. It makes sense.
I don't know. When I heard Beyond Creepy put forth this episode or this story, I was like, dude, this is fucking bizarre.
And what's crazy is, I don't know if there's really a connection or not, but how it stated that he basically dropped acid. I mean, he did acid, right?
Yeah.
And he,
when he got hit by the truck.
Well, assumingly enough that he's done acid prior to this as well.
Also true.
But it's just ironic to me that you listen to like guys like Joe Rogan talk, and Joe Rogan has openly admitted he's done
DMT.
Yeah, DMT, things that make you hallucinate. And he even states that like when he's doing this, he's had encounters with things, and he's talked to things while tripping, and he's like, dude, it looks real. It feels real. Who's to say that it's not fucking real?
Maybe it just opens up. Like I said before, maybe all of these things exist in our reality, but we have such defense mechanisms
right.
to keep us from going fucking insane that they're all blocked out. And
right.
doing these hallucinogenic drugs
opens it.
Yeah, kind of.
Like opens the mind's eye.
Opens the gate a little bit to where you can see in. And I don't know, dude.
That or dude has been taken by him before and he's just cool with them. Like they're just homeboys.
They're like, it's dope. They bring me weed. I bring them LSD.
I think it's so awesome that it basically says the aliens are drug dealers.
Yeah,
because
they're
great.
They're like, I'm assuming he probably smelt weed and the dude was always high. He's like, your boys checking in downstairs are bringing you weed. So it got to the point where they searched them. They're searching them before they come on the wing and there's no. Unless they hit it in the old prison wallet.
I was thinking the same thing.
Oh, that's some dank. Better than having a human drug dealer than having
alien drug dealers.
Intergalactic drug dealers.
I think it's fantastic.
Pretty fucking dope.
I love it. I think it's a fucking awesome story. I mean, and it's one of them stories, too, where it's not nefarious, where you're just like, fuck aliens, they're super scary. Turns out they're not scary at all. They take you on sweet joy rides and let you get high.
Yeah, they just took you on they essentially gave you a helicopter tour of the Hawaiian Islands for free plus weed.
Yeah, and maybe some acid for the way home.
He probably brought the acid himself.
Well, I would have got it. He's like, hey guys, let's get fucked up.
So I thought that was a pretty interesting story
it's awesome.
To share with
it's
you guys.
Fucking fantastic.
The next one is a little stranger.
Like bad strange or
yeah, well it doesn't end I don't know if it's good or if it's bad.
Hopefully not bad.
This is the story of a man named Granger Taylor.
It's an interesting name.
Granger Taylor was born on October 7th, 1948. Oh, my sources for this one. There is a YouTube channel called Go. It's spelled GEAUX, kind of a smaller channel. She did a very good rundown of Granger's experience. There's also the Times columnist that I used as my source. So if you guys want to check out either of those two, please feel free to go over there and look at it.
Hell yeah.
Granger Taylor was born on October 7th, 1948 on Vancouver Island, British Columbia. He was exceptionally mechanically inclined and showed amazing aptitude at constructing and repairing machines. So much so that he was described as a self-taught mechanical wizard. He lived his life while at home with his mother and stepfather on Seminos Lake in Vancouver. He dropped out of eighth grade and found a job as a mechanic's assistant with a neighbor. A year later, he would become self-employed and remain so for the rest of his life. At the age of 14, he built a single-cylinder automobile from scratch.
Hey, what a fucking stud.
Dude, at the age of 17, he rebuilt a bulldozer the seasoned mechanics had given up on.
Jesus.
He said, fuck that.
What's his fucking name? I can't think of the guy's name.
Granger Taylor?
Yeah, but he's like...
Dylan Cannon?
That, yeah, definitely Dilmo. Fucking Area 51 guy. Can't think of his fucking name right now.
Oh, yeah. I can't think of it either.
How can you not think of it?
Because you just threw it on me.
All over Joe Rogan here lately.
Yeah, because if... we're going on tangent here. Keep Granger Taylor in the back of your mind, but... Apparently, there's evidence coming out that everything old boy said, it could be proven true.
What old boy?
I'm trying to think of his name. Old boy.
I feel fucking so dumb.
Dude, just Google Area 51 documentary. We're Googling here. Hang with us, folks. If anybody knows the name of this guy, we're trying to
I cannot talk. Believe that I cannot think of this fucking name right now.
Bob Lazar.
That's it. God dang, I'm so stupid. Zing. I'm so dumb.
Yeah, it does remind me of Bob Lazar.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally. He was building rocket cars and shit.
That's what I'm saying. He's a fucking genius.
Keep that in the back of your mind.
Okay.
For Bob the Lazar end of this. Back.
I'll probably forget his name
and
again.
What Bob Lazar did for a job. Anywho, back to the bulldozer.
Okay.
That nobody could fix. At 17, he rebuilt it. And other mechanics had given up on it. They're like, this bulldozer's fucking broken. And Granger's like, fuck too.
Yeah, you guys are dumb.
So, when he was in his early 20s, I'm assuming he used the bulldozer that he built to plow a trail over half a mile through dense forest to get the remains of an old locomotive. The train had been abandoned during the Great Depression, and it was so grown up in the forest that he had to cut trees out to get it out.
Good.
He managed to bring the engine piece by piece, a fucking load of locomotive he brought out of the woods piece by piece to his home, where he rebuilt it and restored it to its original former glory, and then he sold it back to the province in 1973.
What an idiot.
Dude.
That's insane.
The engine went on tour with the local museum and was eventually put on display at the British Columbia Forest Discovery Center. From there, Granger went on to get his pilot's license, and he purchased a vintage Kitty Hawk warplane that he restored himself. In order to get the plane, his parents gave him $20,000 in a bank account. Granger only used the money that it cost to buy and restore the plane, and the rest, the other $10,000, remained in the account. From there, Granger's interests went into more out-of-this-world territory. He became absolutely fixated on UFOs and aliens. He built his own UFO beneath the fir trees on his parents' land. It was kind of like a little home away from home. Had a wood stove in there and a refrigerator and shit. And he began collecting as many books on the subject as he could to try to figure out how flying saucers could work. This new hobby quickly became an obsession, and Granger got to the point to where he just became a recluse. He stayed by himself. All he did was read. And when he did go out with friends, all he would talk about was UFOs. There was one friend that Granger confided in named Nielsen. He told Nielsen that he had begun to receive messages from actual aliens from outer space. Kind of telepathic contact. At first, it was all in fun, and Nielsen just kind of wrote it off. But when he built a radio with which he said he could communicate with aliens based on reoccurring dreams about abductions he was having, people kind of started to question his well-being because he's sitting at home in his UFO talking to aliens.
I mean, I could see the problem there.
He told Nielsen that the aliens were from an area of space beyond the Milky Way galaxy, and that they had actually invited him to go on a 42-month interstellar voyage with them.
That's a long fucking time.
Yeah.
But I mean, if they have wings and stuff like that.
Oh, fuck, dude. That would be the only thing they need to get me on a goddamn spaceship. It'd be like, yo, I got some hot wings in here.
Let's go.
Like, man, I fucking hate extraterrestrials, but I fucking love hot wings. We're going to have to weigh the pros and the cons here.
I'm with you right now.
Yeah. So his friend Nielsen just kind of thought that Granger was overreacting to these dreams he was having, and he just kind of humored him. On Friday, November 28th, 1980, Granger had a long talk with his stepfather, Jim. He expressed gratitude and thanks for everything he and his mother had done, and he just basically said thanks for being good parents. Jim had no idea this would be the last time he would ever speak to Granger. His mother was on vacation in Hawaii at the time, first vacation she was able to take in years, but ultimately she would regret not being there that night. Granger left two wills to his parents. In them, interestingly enough, he had removed the words funeral, crossed out the word deceased, and replaced it with the word departed. He left a short single note on his parents' bedroom door. It stated, and I quote, "Dear Mother and Father, I've gone away to walk aboard an alien spaceship as reoccurring dreams assured a 42-month interstellar voyage to explore the vast universe and then return. I'm leaving behind all of my possessions to you as I will no longer require the use of any of them. Please use my instructions and my will as a guide to help. Love, Granger." End quote. On the opposite side of the note was a map of Waterloo Mountain, roughly 20 miles west of their property in where are they at? Duncan. The last person to see Granger was a waitress working in a little restaurant called Bob's Grill. He'd stopped in for dinner at 6 p.m. The waitress noted his clothing because there was a rumored storm on the way. She said that Granger was wearing a brown knitted sweater zipped up in the front, a black t-shirt, jeans, and logger boots. As I said, she made note that he was dressed odd as this huge storm was coming and he was not equipped for the storm. Granger dined alone, paid for his bill, and then left on his own at 6:30. By this time, the storm was ravaging Duncan and the surrounding cities. The storm was immense with hurricane force winds. It ended up downing trees and power lines everywhere, and the entire area was left in just ultimate darkness the entire night. It is noted that witnesses recalled hearing a loud explosion right around probably 7 or 7:15, about the time Granger would have showed up at the spot he thought he was going to meet the UFO. It wouldn't be until later that morning that everyone realized that Granger had disappeared off the face of the earth. He was 32 years old when he disappeared. He left behind all of his possessions, and the remaining $10,000 in his bank account was never touched. He left in his 1972 pale blue Datsun, according to law enforcement, and he has never been heard from again. His stepdad contacted the police thereafter to help locate him. They searched hospitals, passport checks, vehicle registration, employment records, bank records, everything that you would go through with a missing person, but nothing turned up. 6 years later, fragments of a pale blue Datsun had been found on Mount Prevost near Duncan. It had been blown to bits by a massive explosion. Small human bones and pieces of brown clothing were found on the scene. The clothing was confirmed by Granger's mother to be a shirt that she had sewn for Granger not long before he went missing. DNA testing was not prevalent at the time, and pathology work could only suggest that the adult bones were human and possibly Granger's. Representatives from the Royal Canadian Mounted Police confirmed that the truck was Granger's. A report by BC coroners officially declared Granger dead, and with that, the case was officially closed. So a report by the coroner service released recently confirmed that the vehicle identification number of the truck parts found off of the satellite road near Mount Provost, where Taylor was reportedly headed on the night of November 29th, 1980, matched that of Taylor's truck. So they're saying that the vehicle ID, the VIN number, matched that of Taylor's. The cause of death listed on the report is massive injuries due to the consequence of an explosion. The finding was based on circumstantial evidence on the site, according to the report. So there was a lot of speculation at the time that Granger was not in a proper mental state. They said he'd been experimenting with LSD, and they said that this whole alien thing had essentially just consumed his life. So there is rumor that possibly he had taken his own life. They said he had access to explosives and dynamite, which could account for the explosion sound and the fact that the truck had been blown to absolute bits.
Well, you know what else makes a really loud explosion sound? When shit breaks the sound barrier.
Yes, I didn't even have to write it in here. I didn't even have to write it because I knew you would pick up on it. One of Granger's close friends disputes the facts completely. He was 15 years old at the time when Granger disappeared. He said Granger was like a big brother to him, and he helped Granger work on different things, even helped put the UFO together that he built in his parents' yard. So his last name was Keller, Robert Keller. He is questioning the evidence that is put forth, especially about the truck. He said there is no way that truck was Granger's. He said the police said it was a pale blue truck, but his truck was Pepto Bismol pink. I helped him paint it with my buddy Darren.
Interesting.
Weird, right? So they're trying to push this narrative that he killed himself with dynamite. Which, I mean,
for a fucking genius, doesn't seem like it's exactly. Very logical.
And a lot of his friends are coming forth and saying that there's no way he would have killed himself. And there's no way. They said sometimes he would keep dynamite in his truck to help clear out the forest, like to go get the locomotive and shit.
Right.
Could it have been an accident? Possibly. Could lightning have struck the truck and caused the explosion? Possibly.
Very unlikely.
But they said he would not. He had experience with the explosives, and he would not have made a mistake. They said he's too smart to have, quote, too smart to have an accident up on the mountain. There's no way. He knew how to handle the explosives. He was basically an expert. So when it came to safety, that was his number one priority. The fact that he killed himself with the dynamite does not work for me. He would not have had an accident. He would not have done it on purpose.
Right. I mean, We say that, but accidents do happen. It doesn't matter how fucking smart you are, and how many precautions you take, things do happen. But with that being said, I still don't think that he most likely blew himself up.
No, it's
it's a little too convenient.
Like you said, what are the odds of that sound being the explosion of the dynamite or something leaving the atmosphere?
Exactly.
From there, the conspiracy theories have taken off like crazy.
Well, I'm sure.
People say that maybe Granger faked his own death, blew up the truck on his own. I don't know how you would attribute adult human bones, but they said that he possibly moved to Colombia to start a whole new life. He was just sick of living in the outskirts of Canada and just over the life that he put together for himself. There are reports that there are pictures of the truck still on the mountain.
Is it pink?
Grown up. I don't know. I haven't seen the pictures.
Damn.
And this is the one that really gets me. Others state that his death is staged by the U.S. government, and he was kidnapped to work on technology in Area 51.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Which sounds a lot like our buddy Bob Lazar.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Because their minds are parallel.
They're almost exactly the same. And the thing that gets me that is probably the biggest red flag that points in that direction is how you were reading about how he left a note for his parents. And he says, you know, I'm going on a 48-month journey with my friends.
To return.
Here I have a will, and he goes out of his way to mark out deceased and funeral and all that garbage, which if he had every intention of killing himself, he wouldn't have marked those out. He would have said, basically been saying, hey, I'm going to kill myself. Here's my shit.
See ya.
Here's my shit. But instead he marks it all out, and then he takes this trip with these beings, and I'm sure the size of his brain fucking exploded on that journey. And then ironically enough, he most likely comes back only to never actually reappear. And I like that theory that the government got a hold of him and were like, yo, you've been on their ship. You've talked to them. You've built a radio that talks to them. You're coming with us.
Yeah.
Simple.
If he did create something to contact extraterrestrials, intergalactic beings, however you want to say it, the first thing that they would do,
dude,
he would disappear.
Even if that's all he did was create a device to contact beings outside of this planet, you would have got snatched up in a fucking heartbeat. There are stories out there where people have made motors that run on water and they go fucking missing.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So you want to talk about this contacting actual intelligent life forms, not of this planet, you're going to get snatched up in a fucking heartbeat and you will disappear.
Yep. CBS actually made a documentary of it that was released last year, I believe. It's called Spaceman. And they went out to kind of try to shed some light, or at least bring the story forward. They went to look for the blast site. Right? This was a huge explosion that people heard miles away. In the report, the coroner's report, they said the blast site was listed as 600 feet in diameter.
Which is huge.
Yeah. That's like two fucking football fields of shit blown up.
Yeah.
But when they went there to explore it 20 years later, or 40 years later, 40 years later, they couldn't find any evidence of it at all.
Another thing that I find fucking really weird is, didn't they say in the original story it was like 6 years later they found bits of bone in the truck and a sweater?
Yeah.
6 years later, right? I'm not wrong on that.
Yeah. Say it was 86. He disappeared in 80.
Wouldn't a sweater exposed to the constant elements like that,
After being blown up by dynamite.
So you're going to have storms that come in, you're going to have high winds.
You're in Canada, it's going to freeze and it's going to thaw.
Yes, you're going to have constant changing weather. You're going to have constant sunlight on it. Wouldn't you think those pieces of clothing would disappear after 6 fucking years?
Maybe it was a good ass sweater.
Not to mention,
His mom made it with love. Stitched with love.
I guess so. not to mention, like you said, it got blown up by fucking dynamite. So it's not like it's a whole sweater laying on the ground. It's just bits and pieces. How in the fuck, 6 years later, you're going to pick up a dime-sized piece of sweater in the fucking forest?
And they said his parents left their back door unlocked for years and years and years waiting for him to come back because he said he was going to come back.
Yeah, so they had every intention on him coming home.
So the only thing you have to go by that he killed himself is the evidence that the police recovered.
Official story.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Is it possible that he killed himself? Yeah. Is it possible it was an accident? Yeah. But...
All right, so I got another theory for it. So the way my brain's thinking right now is that the Area 51 is extremely plausible for me. And the other one that I find extremely plausible is that maybe he went on this journey and he was like, yo, I kind of like being up here with you guys.
I'm just going to chill with you weed aliens.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to hang out, help you guys build cool shit, and travel the universe.
Yeah, prepare for the space war. That's just me.
I mean,
never mind.
He probably did start the Space Force.
So they're saying that the only evidence they have is the VIN number from the truck, which they're saying is the wrong color from what people close to him said there was. And they have just adult human bones that have not been proven to be Grangers.
What the fuck do you think the odds are?
Why don't they test for it now?
Because it's fake.
Well.
What do you think the odds are that much dynamite that would create a 600-foot radius...
Dude, I don't even...
...would leave the fucking VIN number perfectly intact? What do you think those odds are?
100.
I guess I'm wrong.
We're talking about the government.
I know.
My God.
Like you, in my opinion, you have to be fucking stupid to be like, oh, well, I mean,
this truck was blown to bits. So
we found little pieces of it.
How in the fuck?
But the VIN number, perfectly intact.
How
I found it over
fuck?
Here in this bush.
Do you have a blast site on a 600-foot blast? That's like, what, 2 fucking football fields?
Yeah, it would definitely be a crater.
And nobody noticed it
for
6 fucking years.
Yeah,
nobody questioned it for 6 fucking years.
Because, like I said, it would be a crater. You would think with the
or at least
that much...
blown all the fucking trees off of it.
Yeah, something weird. But...
You're in Canada, isn't there fucking 10,000 million trees there anyway?
Yeah, and they find a VIN number perfectly intact in a bush
right next to this sweater bones.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I just thought I had another little story put together, but I didn't do any research on it of this guy who wrote and produced music, and he wrote a album called UFO.
Cool.
And then all of a sudden he disappeared in the desert, but whatever, didn't research it.
That sucks.
Fuck it.
We're right at an hour anyways.
True that. So, what do you think, Kyle? What are you pulling for?
With this last episode?
Yeah, Granger himself?
No.
Granger accidentally killed himself?
Nope.
Granger was kidnapped by the U.S. government and is currently building UFOs in Area 51.
I like that idea. But I also like the idea of thinking that he might have just fucking stayed with them.
Yeah, he was talking to him.
Yeah, I mean, he might be like, this is awesome.
I hope that he is just cruising around on spaceships.
I mean, fucking who's to say that... I mean, Jesus, something, he could have went on that journey and something could have gone wrong. Their spaceship fuck up. I mean, him not being able to handle
it. Got into outer space and realized that he couldn't breathe.
Right. I mean,
he's human.
You factor in those variables and there's shitloads of possibilities. But I would definitely say that there is a plausible one with the government snatching him up.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like you said, people go missing that create engines that run on fucking water.
Yeah, and the government has a very interesting ability
to make people disappear.
To make people disappear and to find these people.
I just think that I'm hoping that he's up there just flying around with his UFO buddies.
For sure.
I'm leaning more toward I don't know. I don't want him to be kidnapped by the government, but it would make sense, especially with as mechanically inclined as he is.
Yeah, for sure.
And the fact that he stated that he was getting information, the government would have been all over that.
Yeah. Because they would definitely want him to reverse engineer these UFOs. Because if you think about it, that, you know, now, current times, the Pentagon literally just released saying that there are aircraft not of this fucking planet.
Yeah.
So basically, with that being said and that acknowledgement, A, aliens are fucking real. Told you. B, on this planet.
Told you.
On this planet right now, the first country to master that technology will damn near rule the planet. So Everybody's, over the years, you know, everybody's been in a mad dash to try to figure this shit out. Because if America figures out how to utilize that craft, do you think for a second we wouldn't dominate
everything?
Everything. Airspace, everything.
Yeah, the Olympics.
Whoever gets there first, it's going to be a scary time for the rest of the world.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
And that's probably why no alien wants to fucking help us.
No, they just try to bring us space weed and right? We'd shoot them.
I'd fucking hang out.
I don't know, man. It's weird. I also read a article where they're stating that the government is slowly releasing information, basically solidifying everything Bob Lazar said. Everything that he said, everything he's been ridiculed for and called a liar and called a crackpot, they're slowly putting the information out to the public where they're like, yeah, you know, Bob said this about this UFO. That's kind of true. Bob Weird. Said that these weren't of earthly origin. That's also kind of true.
How fucked up is it that none of that happened until Bob hit Joe?
Oh, yeah. Because
Joe is like...
Yeah.
You get on Joe Rogan and you are fucking famous.
It's these guys, Joe and old boy from Blink-182, Tom DeLonge, who got him to admit that those UFO videos are real.
Yeah, but he's crazy.
All right.
I'm sorry. He's crazy.
Regardless of his mental stability, it's these people who have a lot of public pull that are forcing the hand...
They don't have a choice.
Yeah, they're putting it out there and forcing the hand of the government to,
in my opinion,
to at least acknowledge it.
Yeah, and in my opinion, you couldn't go to anybody more sound of mind than Joe Rogan.
Especially when he's on DMT.
Yeah, well, that dude looks at everything rationally. He doesn't, like, jump with the motion 90% of the time, you know? He's a very rational man. He's fucking huge. People take what he says with, you know... verification. I mean, they believe in Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
And he's literally the godfather of podcasts.
It
so.
Does. And I feel like it takes people with big public following, because you take someone like Joe Rogan, who everybody knows, and he says, hey, people are saying shit's real.
Yeah.
Tell us if shit's real. And they listen to him, but if you have a scientist being like, hey, or somebody like Bob Lazar, hey, shit's real. Tell people that it's real. And they're like, you're a fucking whack job.
Yeah. And it's easy to disprove the guy that's not in the spotlight. They're just like, who's Bob Lazar?
Get Be quiet, crazy man.
Yeah. You weren't even a scientist. You
crazy. I don't know. It's weird.
It is weird.
I feel like it's so conveniently wrapped up in a nice little package. We found his VIN number, and we found some human bones, and we found this sweater that looks exactly like the knitted sweat. Like, how hard is it to knit another brown fucking sweater?
And for me...
Burn the edges on it and put some shit in.
Right. For me, the biggest factor in the explosion itself is I'm not an explosion expert. I am not a metal expert.
You're not?
I mean, I guess I am. All right. I'm just checking. Pretty much Bill Nye. But the biggest sale that it wasn't fucking real for me is the fact that if you're going to say that explosion was that big and you're going to reason to me that you found the VIN number of that truck, I call bullshit.
You'd think it would at least have melted it or done something. Yeah. I don't know. It's too fucking convenient. And it's like 9/11 where the plane hit the buildings and burnt down and like the largest mass destruction event probably ever that humans have caused on other humans outside of dropping the bombs, and their passports are conveniently not burnt the fuck up.
Right. And just imagine that, Steve. Imagine being on the side of a fucking mountain and then you just magically find the VIN number.
You're like, oh shit. Look at this big ass crater we have here that no one has noticed for 6 years.
And look,
what's this I found?
A VIN number. Let's go run it.
What color truck did you say he drove? Oh, a blue Datsun? Well, I'll be fucked. Look at it.
It's
a blue Datsun.
Damn.
Oh, wait. He painted that truck pink.
No, he didn't.
Piss.
It's not what it says in the VIN. When I run the VIN.
Dummy.
These people these days.
So, yeah, I thought I'd tell you those two little interesting possible abductions.
They were good.
We're going to call them abductions.
I enjoyed it.
And, yeah, it's weird. Fucking weird. So check us out at all our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter. Come and hang out with us. You know the spiel. Until then, all of you Holoskites, stay weird, stay safe, and here's the Granger cruising around in a UFO up there. I hope you're living your best life, bud.
We'll pour a monster out for you, buddy.
Yeah.